My guest at this time is Frank Gaffney. He is president of the Center for Security Policy here in Washington, and he served as a Pentagon official in the Reagan administration. We want to get his reaction to what we can see that has come out of the summit between President Trump and Kim Jong-un in Singapore in the past few hours. And Frank, thanks so much for being with us.
It's great to be back. Thank you, Greg.
Well, there were four bullet points, essentially, that came out in the written statement. Two of them were very vague about working towards peace and things like that. One said that the North Koreans were committed toward a path towards denuclearization. And the fourth one was about returning the remains of American POW and MIA from the Korean War. At the same time, the president admits that he has unilaterally given up doing joint military exercises with the South Koreans. He also says Kim Jong-un has agreed to dismantle either a missile testing facility or perhaps a portion of the missile testing program. So based on what was formally agreed to, what's your reaction here?
As you mentioned, I had the privilege of serving in the Reagan administration, and I guess both before and after. I spent most of my professional life either being involved in or at least monitoring closely various arms control initiatives, agreements, treaties, debates, and their results. And I'm reminded of a famous British wit's phrase about the phenomenon of second marriages, in which he described them as the triumph of hope over experience, because that seems to apply to an awful lot of these exercises. And I would say about this agreement that the president has pulled together with Kim Jong-un, it might be a sort of variation on the theme. It could be the triumph of confidence in personal chemistry over hard reality. And I say that based in part on having watched not only this president, but others as well, make investments in foreign leaders on the basis of a sense of personal chemistry. And oftentimes it doesn't work out very well. And in the case particularly of ruthless and wholly unreliable totalitarians, I think that's more the norm than the exception. So I have to say I'm concerned about the gap between what was indicated would be coming out of this meeting and what actually has in terms of details. It's not to say that there aren't more actually out there that haven't been revealed yet or that will be forthcoming shortly. It's just that there's not as much as I certainly had hoped for, and I think that the president had encouraged might be forthcoming. And I think we just have to be honest about that. It's a reality that probably will be further shaping our experiences in this exercise as it goes forward.
Frank, I remember from a previous conversation, you were skeptical about the president agreeing to this face-to-face meeting at all. But if this was going to go forward, which it now has, what sort of sacrifices should have been absolutely demanded from the North Koreans? A lot of folks today are talking about that there's no verification or inspection plan here. Maybe those details will be worked out later. But the language seems very similar to the language that Bill Clinton thought solved the problem 25 years ago.
No, this doesn't solve the problem, that's for sure. And I don't think President Trump thinks it does either. I think he thinks that it is evidence of a commitment on the part of Kim Jong-un to do something that has thus far not been evident. And maybe he's right. I just don't know. I was not obviously in those meetings, but I am skeptical, I have to say. Let me just add something to the mix. I had a conversation with a distinguished former commander-in-chief of the U.S. Pacific Fleet by the name of Admiral James Ace Lyons today. And he made an observation to me about all this that I think is worth putting into the mix. You know, one of the problems that I've had over the years with these ideas about denuclearizing nations or, for that matter, bilaterally or globally, is that That's a very hard thing to do for all the obvious reasons, one of which is the one you mentioned, verification. Another is uninventing technologies that are widely available, including in secretive countries like North Korea. But another is you don't want to make the world, or for that matter, the Korean Peninsula, safe for conventional warfare. And as President Trump mentioned himself earlier in the day at his press conference, Seoul, this enormous sprawling city, is quite close to the border with North Korea, well within striking range of, by some estimates, 100,000 conventional artillery pieces, which, especially if armed with high explosive rounds or chemical weapons or biological weapons, could have a devastating effect on millions of people. So I think one of the things that I would like to see, and Admiral Lyons suggested, is the pullback of those howitzers from the border areas of North Korea as a gesture towards genuinely reducing the threat to South Korea and our forces there. And I'd just say one other thing, if I could, Greg. I am troubled by not so much the president's decision to suspend exercises of our forces pending seeing how these negotiations go. I don't think that's advisable. I wouldn't recommend it. And frankly, I'd be a little surprised if the people around him did. But I get his logic. But what I do find worrying is that he has signaled an embrace of the North Korean, Chinese, and Russian rhetoric about those exercises to the effect that they are provocative, when in fact they really are a part of a defensive stance meant to deter aggression against the South and our forces there. So that's unfortunate, because I fear that it might make it very hard to restart those exercises should the need arise, and I think it will, especially given, I think, the South Korean government's desire to dispense with them altogether.
Two quick questions before we let you go, Frank. We're talking with Frank Gaffney, former Defense Department official with the Reagan administration and now president of the Center for Security Policy, one with a positive look at it and one with a negative. Let's start with the positive. Trump did not budge at all. I don't even know if it came up, but he did not budge at all on sanctions. And we're seeing reports from a variety of sources that these sanctions are having quite a bit of an effect on North Korea, and they're effectively starved for cash. So the fact that he hasn't relented in that area until he actually sees North Korea put up some progress when it comes to denuclearization, how significant was that?
It's hugely significant, and I think were he to do otherwise would have been a terrible mistake. As I say, part of the maximum pressure campaign, which I think he has very successfully wielded, were those sanctions, as they were also the joint exercises. The fact that he's decided to dispense with the joint exercises, at least for the time being, means all the more it's important to maintain the sanctions. He did say, though, that there were some 300 other sanctions that he was contemplating and being urged to impose, and he's held off on those for the time being. So in a sense, he at least didn't tighten down further. The trick is, as you know, Greg, that the president mentioned it as well. China has been more and more overtly subverting the sanctions again by opening up its border, and that is causing, I think, the effectiveness of those sanctions to be somewhat diminished. So it's all the more important that the president hold the line, and I hope press upon the Chinese that they better get back into harness with us in enforcing those sanctions.
And finally, Frank, the PR benefit for the Kim regime, in addition to having his picture taken with the president and having the prestige of being on the same stage with him, the same room with him, President Trump also said some pretty darn nice things about Kim in public, saying it was a great honor to meet with him. He also said that Kim Jong-un loved his people, which is going to come as a pretty big surprise to the ones languishing in prison camps and so forth. So what's the reaping here for the Kim regime from this episode?
Well, this has been one of my misgivings about any of these sorts of approaches to Kim Jong-un. I consider him to be one of the world's most horrific tyrants. And it's troubling that we find ourselves having to deal with him. That's in part, as the president has pointed out, the legacy of a lot of people who chose to ignore a problem that has now become too dangerous to ignore further. But in the process, I think we absolutely, as I say, have to stick with hard reality, and that is that it might be necessary to try to reduce the danger posed by this regime by denuclearizing it. But it is totally regrettable and I think undesirable in the extreme to be signaling other than the way he treats his people is unacceptable. And that the idea is just a hardy perennial for me, I have to say, Greg. Any nation that is so horrifically indifferent to the suffering of its own people is not one that I would trust with the safety of ours.
Frank, we'll keep it there. We'll see what develops from here. I'm sure the talks will continue on some level. Thank you very much, as always, for being with us today.
My pleasure, my friend. Thank you.
Frank Affney is president of the Center for Security Policy. He also served as a Assistant Secretary of Defense in the Reagan administration. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.